Welcome to episode 36 of the Low Carb Universe Show. And today I have a very special guest with me who is not Bitte Kempe Björkman, my co-founder in the Low Carb Universe, but it is instead a very special friend of mine. And also, as it happens, to be a speaker at LCU 18 in November. This is a very special guy, as I told you. His name is Dr. Ali Alawati. He is from Oman, and him and I have a few things in common. One of which is, of course, our type 1 diabetes diagnosis. So I just thought that we would get on the air and chat a little bit about diabetes and all of the things that may or may not come up. Welcome, Ali.
Thank you so much, Hannah, and thank you for this wonderful introduction.
Well, you're quite welcome. How are you today?
I'm very well. Very, very well. I just came back from the hospital and I'm ready for this show.
Awesome. So I was just thinking, because there's not, you know, out there, there's more and more, but not so much about type 1. And I was just thinking, I wanted to hear a little bit more about your type 1 diabetes story. Like, for example, everyone loves a diagnosis story, although they're all very, very sad, but we all love them. So why don't you start by sharing your diagnosis story?
Okay, right. So I was diagnosed with diabetes at the age of 7. I remember that it was around 2 weeks after my grandmother had passed away. And it started with me wetting my bed.
Oh.
And it was weird because I was fine, you know, as a child. I'd never wet my bed. And then suddenly I started wetting my bed. So yeah. Because my grandmother had just passed away, they thought that this was some way that I was reacting to this, trying to, yeah. I don't know, so some emotional thing that was going on. So we went to a doctor and he said, fine, enuresis is fine as a reaction to sudden loss of someone, shock, emotional stress. So they told me, yeah. they told my father to wait and see what happens. So we waited 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I was still wetting my bed. And I actually remember having to want to drink a lot of water. I used to be thirsty all the time. I remember having to go to the bathroom and, you know, when I was emptying my bladder, I was peeing and it took so long for me to empty my bladder. And so let me tell you, it felt so good to empty my bladder after it was so full. But I actually remember this. I remember feeling thirsty and I remember how I used to just love to drink water to quench my thirst. And this is what I remember now, the feeling that I remember before being diagnosed. So this went on for a while. And I remember on the day that I was diagnosed, I was acting in this play at school and I was with a friend. We went, we left the school and we went to this little shop next to the school that sold candy. And I had some pocket money and I spent it all on candy. So, you know, it was bags and bags filled with candy and we finished everything. I go back home and I'm like really tired. So my mom sees that I'm really tired. So she tells my father and they rush me to the emergency room. And the emergency room, they take my blood for some, you know, tests and they find that my blood glucose is very high. Actually, the machine read high. So they had to send to the laboratory to check the amount of glucose. Yeah. And it was 48.8 millimoles.
Whoa.
I was diagnosed with diabetes with a very mild DKA, diabetic ketoacidosis.
Despite that, I don't know, even know astronomical level of blood glucose.
Well, all that candy had to go somewhere.
Well, it didn't help.
But you know, it's funny. I remember on that night, I remember my father feeling a bit concerned and looking all sad. So I held his hand and I'm like to him, you know what? I'm going to be a doctor and treat diabetes someday. And here I am.
Wow. Yeah, I was going to ask you about how you got into medicine, but that was your motivation.
Yes, since I was 7.
Wow, that is determination. And how did you find your way? How did you find your way then as a, you know, 7 year old? And I'm guessing, as we all did back in those days, we all got sort of the same nutrition advice, I guess. How did you get from that to going into medicine and sort of doing what you do today?
Right. So as you said, everybody gets the same kind of nutritional advice, low fat, high carb diet, and calorie restricted. You know, everything was weighed. So once I left the hospital,
oh, I remember that.
That bland food that had no taste, boiled chicken and steamed vegetables, and there's no taste. It was like hell. I remember clearly how my plate used to look like. Fine, it was colorful. My parents tried to make it as nice as possible, I guess, but it didn't taste good. Oh yeah, it was. It's bad to say this, but it was disgusting. I had to eat it.
It really was.
It was really disgusting. So yeah. So this is how it started after I'd left the hospital and continued for about 3-4 years. And then when I was about maybe 12, 13 years old, I started taking care of myself. I was more independent, so I just do whatever I wanted to do. And then slowly I learned tricks, how to trick my parents into thinking that I was doing well. So one of the things that I used to do is I used to sneak snacks and sweets at school. So at school I used to go and get, chocolate bars and strawberry flavored milk and things from the cafeteria without my parents knowing. And I'd come back home and my blood glucose used to always be high, always sky high.
Yeah.
And I remember my father being upset when this would happen. Of course, he wouldn't yell at me, but I remember him feeling sad that he was probably not doing, you know, his utmost. So once I was checking my blood glucose and by mistake, at the time, we used to rub alcohol on the fingertip and then to disinfect it, and then we'd prick it to get the blood.
Yeah.
So that a part of that alcohol fell on the strip on the glucometer. And what I noticed, but I thought, you know what, it's fine. I'll just test my blood glucose. And I tested my blood glucose. And I was very sure that it was going to be around 20.
Yeah.
And it was 7.
Wow, you're a miracle.
What happened? What? How come? So I tested it again with a regular, normal, dry test strip, and it was 20.
Yeah.
So I was surprised. What was happening? So it turns out that when you wet the little test strip, it doesn't give you the accurate reading. It reduces the reading. So I learned a trick. And then wow. I started using this trick. My parents, I'd just go and indulge in all kinds of sweets and chocolates and come back home and test. And I was this little star whose blood glucose was just perfect.
I'm only laughing because it's so relatable. I didn't get quite as far as to tricking the machine, but, you know, the whole, like, you know, sneaking snacks and, you know, throughout, well, my upbringing quite a lot, but especially in high school and stuff, but I never really got to the tricking the machine part.
Well, I don't know. I guess I was lucky or unlucky. I don't know.
Yeah, so, it depends on how you look at it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And eventually I got caught, of course, and they found out. And then I went back to just checking my blood glucose in front of them. They wouldn't trust me with the machine.
Oh, I wonder why.
So this went on till I was about 15 years old. Then because of my high blood glucose and my parents trying to adjust my insulin doses, and I used to try to adjust my insulin doses to get a better control of my blood glucose, and I started gaining weight. So I became overweight. And at the time, I had some proteinuria. That means my kidneys started to get affected. My glycated hemoglobin was always at 8 or 9%. And my blood glucose was through the roof. I felt miserable with the stuff that I was eating. I was allowed to have some cheat snacks sometimes. But otherwise, it was this brown bread, dry, bland food. It was ridiculous. So this was going on. And then I found low carb. So I'll tell you the story how I found low carb. I used to go sit with my grandfather and his friends every evening. And one of his friends used to be this really old grumpy guy. I remember his driver would drop him right next to the gate and he'd walk in with his cane. He was overweight, looked tired and miserable all the time. He'd slowly drag himself and collapse on the chair and start complaining about his diabetes, hypertension, knee pain, and, you know, all these medical problems. And then, you know, he went on and on about his medication. I'd never seen that man smile. So there was this while where I stopped going to these gatherings that my grandfather used to have. And maybe perhaps 4 or 5 months later, I went back and we were sitting there waiting for this guy. He wasn't there. So waiting for this guy to come. And then I was surprised by seeing someone marching through the gate wearing trainers, exercise shoes, sneakers. And he was marching through the gate and smiling. And it was the same guy. He looked different. He had lost weight. He looked younger. And he was marching in without a cane. He came in, sat down on the chair, and he was smiling. I'd never seen him smile. So my jaws literally dropped. I wanted to know what he did, how he lost the weight. So I was overweight. I was concerned about my weight, the way I looked. So I really wanted to know how he lost the weight. So I kept poking my grandfather, like, ask him. So eventually he asks him. And then this guy got me a piece of paper that said low carbohydrate diet. And it was written in Arabic.
Yeah.
So I go back home and I read it. And it says, eat fats to lose weight. Fats are healthy. So I immediately call up my grandfather to tell him that this guy is crazy. He's mad. He's going to kill himself. So I told my grandfather to make him stop. So my grandfather told me, no, wait, he improved. He's reduced his diabetes medication, his antihypertensives, his knee pain is gone. He's happy. So I thought that.
Yeah, he doesn't look so dead, huh?
He's probably gone back to life. I don't know. So I thought about it for a while. Then I went online and looked it up. And to my surprise, there was so much data on this, on how safe it is, how amazing it is for obese people, for people with type 2 diabetes. Mind you, at the time, there was no type 1 diabetes research. This was all for obesity and type 2 diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
So I printed out a few articles and then thought of taking them to my endocrinologist. So I went to the first doctor. He told me, no way you can do this. You're diabetic. You're going to kill yourself. It's all fats. So I fired him, went to another doctor.
Like you should.
So I went to three different doctors, and they refused totally to allow me to start this diet. So I went back to my father. I'm like, look, you know, these are the articles. They say how safe it is. It teaches you how to do it. And I really want to do this to lose weight. So my father was like, he read them, he went through them, we discussed it, and he was like, fine. So I started doing my regular checkups and then doing this at home. So initially, when I started this diet, I halved my insulin dose on the first day.
Wow.
And my A1C was around perhaps 9%. My weight was 80-something kilos, 83, 84 kilos. And I had proteinuria. My kidneys were affected.
Yeah.
So 3 months into the diet, I lost weight. I reduced my insulin further to 30 units per day. It was 80 units to start with, so 30 units.
Yeah.
And my A1C dropped to 6% despite reducing my insulin. And my weight reduced. I looked human again. I was a blob of fat. I looked human. And it was brilliant. I loved it. I didn't feel tired anymore. I was very energetic. I could play, do things, and never not feel tired. It was brilliant. So I continued with the diet.
Yeah.
5 months down the line, I repeated the tests, and my A1C dropped down to 5.3. I remember this because I showed it to my endocrinologist, and he's like, How? What did you do?
Yeah.
And so that was it. And then my proteinuria disappeared. I had evidence of
it. That is incredible.
It was gone. Absolutely. I was really happy. And it was very surprising that this happened. I didn't even know that there was evidence that this would happen because of a ketogenic low-carb diet. But it did. It reversed my kidney.
Yeah.
And my A1C, as I said, was 5.3. My insulin was the same though; it didn't change. I was stagnant at 30 units per day.
But in comparison to 80, that is still a massive improvement.
Oh yes, definitely, definitely. Yeah. And I used to indulge in some things. You know, I wasn't very restricted, so I was enjoying myself. I was enjoying my diet, but my blood glucose was very, very well controlled, and everything was improving. So since that day, I've been continuing to do low carb. This was around 16 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. So
you are one of these like longtime heroes that we all dream of meeting. Just to see if it sort of works in the long term, because that is, of course, one of the things with low carb. Oh, it doesn't work in the long run, and especially not for diabetic. You can't keep it up, blah, blah, blah. But you are actually the proof that, heck yeah, you can do it if you just put your mind to it.
And so now my blood glucose is even better controlled. My A1C is 4.7, 4.8, not more than that.
I'm not jealous.
Right. And yeah, everything is brilliant. So like, just to let you know that I started medical school, and then after medical school I started my residency training in internal medicine, and that was very hectic. We used to do sometimes 30-hour on-call duties, so I'm at the hospital working for 30 hours sometimes without sleep. So, and despite that, I used to maintain my blood glucose almost perfect.
That is incredible. Well, up until actually the whole medical school part, I can again relate a lot to your story and to finding low carb and what a drastic improvement it gives you, like, straight away. You know, I didn't do it the same way as you, because I decreased the amount of carbs slowly because I was so afraid, and I was doing it on my own, and I didn't have, you know, enough research. I just got a wake-up call, and then I went from that. But just from reducing in these steps, it was incredible for me as well. And fine, I haven't gotten down to 4.6 or whatever, but I'm down there as well. And it feels really great.
It does.
And it feels really like there's a hope of a future again, and hope of life, because that was pretty much gone for me for a long time as well, because it just felt so hopeless. It didn't matter
absolutely,
what I did.
Absolutely. I can totally relate, because before doing low carb, my blood glucose was just yo-yoing. It was a roller coaster,
yes,
up and down and up and down. And that completely disappeared when I went on low carb.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. And it's incredible that it's such a relatively small thing that you do. It's not like you go on heavy drugs and you get this effect, or you know, you do something crazy, some crazy exercise regime, or you know, inject something else but insulin. No, it's just about the food. It just makes it so much easier.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So this is what I tell my patients, that food is what raises your blood glucose. If you don't want to raise your blood glucose, don't eat the food that raises your blood. And you know what's funny? So this is like really logic, yeah? My 7-year-old nephew asked me perhaps 4 or 5 months ago, he's like, why do you take insulin? So I told him about diabetes, and I told him that I'm diabetic, and sugars increase my blood glucose. So he's like to me, so don't eat sugars. And it was just simple logic. If sugars increase your blood glucose, don't take sugars.
Exactly. It's so profound that it should be common knowledge. And that's, I guess, what we're in different ways and on different platforms and everything. That is what we're advocating, both of us and a lot of other people as well. But just that it can be so much simpler than they make it out to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, you can never reach this level of comfort with diabetes with a regular high carb, low fat diet. It's impossible. I sometimes ask my patients who are a bit skeptic about this to try it for one day, and they see the difference in one day. They see their normal blood sugars and how the yo-yoing just stops. There's no roller coaster anymore. It's just brilliant.
Yeah, it's so fantastic. So your patients are such lucky human beings to have you as a doctor, because there are so few. Mainly because you're you, but also because there's so few doctors who are advocating for this and who are seeing the benefits that it does, that you do reap very, very quickly. So they are, I'm very happy for them that they get the chance to work with you.
You know, what's sad is that the guidelines and the general recommendation still doesn't support this. So not so many doctors or people know about this and know that it's actually, it could be implemented in a type 1 diabetic. So usually in type 1 diabetes, we teach patients how to count carbs, and carbs are encouraged in every meal. Of course, one of the misconceptions in let's say nutrition or dieting is that you need carbohydrates for survival. Turns out you actually don't. One of the subjects that we're taught as doctors and other healthcare professionals is biochemistry. And in biochemistry, we're taught about essential nutrients in the body. And these are nutrients that the body can't produce on its own. You need to eat them and consume them through food. And the essential nutrients are essential amino acids and essential fatty acids. There are no essential sugars. So sugars are not essential for survival to be.
Exactly.
If your body needs sugar, yes, it can make it. Your liver can make up to 300 grams of sugar per day if required. So you don't need.
And sometimes it does, even when you're not prepared for it.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, no, that is very true. And that's something that I talk about a lot myself, yeah, as well. And I wonder if maybe, like, in some endocrinology schools and internist schools, maybe they skip that chapter because it is common knowledge.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's funny that all this is taught to us. And even one of the things that was taught to us in medical school about how carbohydrates raise certain types of cholesterol. And so we learn it and we are tested on it on examinations, but we never apply it in our day-to-day practice. And it's sad that a lot of doctors don't know the power of changing lifestyles and how it can sometimes cure certain types of diabetes, like type 2 diabetes and other diseases, as well as help amazingly in the management of type 1 diabetes.
Yeah. Yeah, because that is, of course, another important point that I feel like, even though it's common knowledge for us, it's always, always good to put a little disclaimer in that, you know, low carb is great for type 1, but it doesn't cure you and it doesn't rid you of having to take insulin for the rest of your life anyway. It just makes it so much easier and makes the dosages so much less. But, of course, it's not a cure. So now I was just going to do a few sort of quick fire questions just because it's kind of fun. Anyway, what are your top 3 things to make diabetes easier?
Of course, the first is low carb, definitely.
Duh.
Right. The second is continuous glucose monitoring.
Yes.
So I have found that CGMS has probably changed the way I dose and treat myself and take my insulin, and probably treat even hypo and hyperglycemia.
Yeah.
So that really made my life much, much easier.
Yeah, because you can see where it's going.
Absolutely.
You can act on the trend already before the catastrophe, like a low or a high, is a fact. Absolutely. So yeah, I really enjoy that too.
Yeah, it helps with the management. The third thing that's really helped me with type 1 diabetes is the availability of low carb snacks around. I love food. I'm a foodie. So
yeah, you too.
So I need to eat all the time. I just, it's probably an emotional thing, but I just love it. I love eating. And I love indulging in nice food and not just any rubbish food that I can find, fast food. No, it has to be really good quality. And I'm just lucky that low carb provides this, and you can make sweets, you can make other snacks. It's just brilliant that these don't really raise your blood glucose. So this is the third thing that really helps my diabetes.
That is very good. Very good tips for everyone out there who's listening. Who are your diabetes heroes?
My diabetes heroes. So first of all, when I found out about the low-carb diet and everything, I started doing it. I was doing it on my own for maybe 12 years. I did low-carb diet on my own. And then I read Dr. Westman's book, The New Atkins for New You. And then I thought about contacting him, and I went and I actually went to the States, to Duke University, and did a few weeks with him. And I worked with him in the clinic. And so he was my first hero. So Dr. Eric Westman is my first hero. My second hero was Dr. Bernstein. So when I was with Dr. Westman, he asked me about my story and how I started and how, you know, everything happened. So I told him, and he's like to me, "Do you know Dr. Bernstein? Your story sounds really like Dr. Bernstein's story." So, and then a few more people told me that. They're like, "Well, it sounds like Dr. Bernstein's story." Dr. Bernstein. I was like, "No, who's Dr. Bernstein?
Who is he?"
Right? So Dr. Westman called up Dr. Bernstein, and I went to New York, and I was with him at the clinic. And he was my second hero, because I realized that he does what I do. And it was just brilliant that both of us had our complications of diabetes reversed with a low-carb diet. And it was...
Yeah, that is incredible.
So Dr. Westman and Dr. Bernstein are my diabetes heroes.
That's amazing, because I have met Dr. Westman before, and he was also a speaker at our LCU 17 event, and he still talks about you every time I meet him. He's like, well, until we met, actually, you and me, he always said, "So, have you contacted Ali yet?" And I'm like, "Well, that's kind of random. Like, I'm not going to just go stalk someone on the internet, you know, just because you tell me to." But I'm glad I did in the end.
I'm really glad you did too.
So yeah, he is very impressed by your story as well. And it is very interesting that your story is so alike Dr. Bernstein's. And I actually thought that you got into low carb because of Dr. Bernstein, but now I've been corrected.
Yeah, well, but he's still my hero.
Yes, of course. He's everyone's hero.
He's a legend.
He really is. He really is. He's diabetes god, I think.
Absolutely. If there's such a thing, he is. Definitely.
Next question. What do you prefer? Because there's a huge controversy within the type 1 world between the terminology of diabetic versus person with diabetes.
Right.
What is your view on that?
So I never felt offended by someone knowing that I'm diabetic or calling me a diabetic. So I'm totally fine with people saying diabetic, type 1 diabetic. But I've heard from patients' mothers sometimes that they get offended when you call their kids diabetic. So they're like, "No, there are people with diabetes or people with a chronic condition."
Yeah.
So, but to me, it doesn't make a difference. Why would it make a difference? As long as your diabetes is controlled, that's what matters. You call it diabetes, you call it, I don't know, chronic disease, whatever. This is what matters.
Oh my God, we think so alike, because that is exactly what I think as well. I've never been offended by the term diabetic. That is part of who I am. And that is part of what I live with. That's true. Person with diabetes is longer to type, longer to say, you know, sometimes there's just not enough time. Like, I don't really mind either way either. But I know it's a huge controversy.
It's funny, when I was a kid, when I was just diagnosed with diabetes, I was the kid in class who took injections, who used to inject himself. And everybody saw that as like, wow, you know, that kid is so, I don't know, courageous. He injects himself. So I used to show off with my diabetes to my friends. So I don't know if that adds to anything. I was diabetic and proud.
Nice. I like it. I don't think, no, I was actually in denial for a long time. And I didn't like to show anyone, but now I really, really don't care, because I need to do what I need to do to take care of me.
Absolutely.
So what is your favorite low carb recipe?
Oh, my favorite low-carb recipe. So I'm a chocolate addict. So anything with chocolate in it is my favorite recipe. Whatever. Just get anything, put chocolate on it. And that's my favorite. Whatever it is.
Smear some chocolate on it. It's cool.
I will eat anything with chocolate smeared to it. Well, to be honest, I've never tried like fish with chocolate, meat with chocolate. No, wait. I've actually tried fish with white chocolate before. And that
was, wow, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, it was a salmon with a white chocolate sauce. It wasn't very sweet. The sauce wasn't sweet, but it was quite interesting. So yeah, anything with chocolate is my favorite recipe.
That is amazing.
I would like to tell people who have diabetes type 1, type 2 diabetics out there that it's not as difficult as you think. The treatment of diabetes can be easier if you follow the right steps. And of course, these steps, the first step is getting into a low carbohydrate diet. And this will make your life easier, will make it easier to control your blood glucose, sometimes can allow us to reverse some early complications. And sometimes it takes a while to reverse your complications, but we can probably get there. And even if you have complications, we can halt them, we can stop them and see if we can reverse them later, but at least you won't get worse. And it's, if you're scared, if you're skeptic, just try it for a while, try it for a week. Even if you know, you don't like it, you can stop it then, but just try it for 1 week and you'll see how wonderful and amazing you'll feel in this 1 week. And I'm saying 1 week because it takes a while for your body to adapt and adjust to burning fats for energy as opposed to burning glucose for energy. So after this happens, you'll feel energetic. You'll feel that you can do anything you want. And this sometimes it even treats and makes depression even better. So if you're depressed, low carb is the way to go.
Yeah.
And it's okay to cheat sometimes. So even I cheat sometimes. So, but then I go back to my diet. And even when I cheat, I know how much insulin I need to cheat. So even if I cheat, I don't allow my blood glucose to go sky high. No, it might just go, there might be a little bump and I go back to my regular control. And that's fine. That's totally fine. Everybody's human. You know, we have these urges to cheat. So it's okay to cheat sometimes. So even if you get into this really strict diet, don't think that, oh, fine, you're stuck in it and you feel suffocated that, you know, you can't indulge in some things. No. So live your life, live happy and eat right. And I'm sure everything will turn around and be very
easy. Yeah, it's all, a lot of it is actually just sort of change of perspective. So you can have, you can be in a low carb, on a low carb diet and call it a diet and think that it is a short term thing or something, or you can see it as a long run thing, like a really ultra super duper marathon that you need to get through. But it is something that you do for life and you have to adapt it to working for you, of course.
Sometimes people want everything. They want to eat sugars and they want to have good blood glucose and, you know, everything. You need to give up something to gain something. It doesn't work like that. You can't just get everything you want and do it the way you want and expect it to work. So sometimes you have to do some, you know, just give up something to gain something else.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And that's the whole definition of insanity, right? To keep doing what you have been doing and expecting different results.
Absolutely. Einstein was right.
He really was. He was a smart guy too. Also, if someone is listening to this and is looking to start a low carb diet as a type 1 diabetic or person with type 1 diabetes, to be completely correct, what are your sort of top tips for how to get started? What do you have to watch out for?
Right. So one of the most important things is to understand that type 1 diabetes is treated completely different as compared to type 2 diabetes. As you mentioned before, that in type 1 diabetes, you can't stop insulin. So your body doesn't produce insulin and you need to take it somehow in some way. So most people inject it, some people, you know, inhale it, pumps, whatever. So never stop your insulin. That's number one. Number two, you need to know how much to reduce your insulin, because if you're reducing the carbohydrates in your meals, you have to reduce the amount of insulin that goes with it. So that's number two. Number three is that when you're doing this, I would advise you to get some person, a health professional who knows how to treat type 1 diabetes with a low carbohydrate diet. And if you're really, really stuck and can't find anyone, try to look up people online that can help you. But you need some guidance if you're a type 1 diabetic, because it's difficult to start on your own. When I did it, it wasn't perfect. I messed up a lot. I had hypoglycemia. I had to learn how to do other things. So this is easier if you have someone to guide you. So number four is that watch out for hypoglycemias, because they can be quite, you can get them quite often at the beginning till you know the amount of insulin you require. I prefer usually to start low than start high for insulin. And so start low and titrate upwards. So slowly increase the doses to match the carbohydrates in the meals. And you have to know that you probably need insulin for almost every meal that you take. And this is the natural physiology of the body. So when we treat type 1 diabetes, we're mimicking the natural response in the body. So when you eat food in a regular person who produces insulin, the body produces insulin for every meal. In type 1 diabetes, this doesn't happen. So you have to actually inject yourself or take insulin the way you do for every meal, except for drinks and things that don't contain any carbohydrates. And in the end, read up a lot. Try to find people who do it, who are type 1 diabetics and have done this. Ask them questions and share with them your experience. I'm sure they'll be more than happy to help with your experience as well.
Oh, we are.
Yep, absolutely.
So that was doctor's order. Awesome. No, it's really great and really kind of you to join me today for the podcast so that we get to know you a little bit better, and so that people can get to know you a little bit better ahead of course, LCU18 in November in Mallorca, where they can meet you and talk to you and pick your brain about all things diabetes. And we can't wait to have you there.
Thank you so much, Hannah. It was amazing. Thank you for having me on your show. It was brilliant. I hope people enjoyed it, listened and benefited a little bit about the treatment of type 1 diabetes with a low carb diet. And as you said, I'll wait for your questions for you to pick my brains at LCU18.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Ali. I'll see you soon.
Yeah. Goodbye. Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.